No messing around. Booyah free zone. No ski dads. Just the stock and the answer. It's time for sudden dearth. There goes Swifty. Let's go to Bob in Virginia. Bob.
Booyah, Jim.
Wrong. Just the stocks. Let's go to Ted in Tennessee. Ted.
Booyah, Jim.
Wrong. We just take stocks during sudden dearth. Let's go to Bill in Wyoming. Bill.
Hey, Jim, a big old open skies booyah to ya.
No. Will somebody please just shout out a stock? Let's go to Harry in Hawaii. Harry.
Aloha and an akamai booyah to ya, Jim.
No. No booyahs. Just say a stock. Let's try Alice in California. Alice.
Jim?
Yes, Alice. Please say a stock.
A stock. Oh, yeah. Booyah, Jimmy.
Oh, my gosh. We're out of time for sudden dearth. I like to say there's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to try to find one just for you if you people would stop ever saying booyah. Booyah, everybody! This is Paul Douglas Boyer here on your Mad Money Machine show number 34, Sudden Dearth. I just want to say another thank you for all of you for nominating Mad Money Machine as Best Business Podcast out of PodcastAwards.com, the only investing podcast to be so nominated. And I want to thank Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com for sponsoring this show. Thanks to you all! The Mad Money Machine, helping thousands of investors 2 years at a time, tries to answer the question, can listening to all the experts out there make us rich? And always do your own investigating before you do any investing. I talked last time about how I had a whole week to prepare for this show, and boy did I ever. I've got a whole boatload of stuff to cover for you, and I'm not sure if I'm going to have enough time to get it all in. I've got a tool for you. I'm going to have a talk about bonds, books, and booyahs. I'll give away a book by Mark Hebner called Index Funds, and I have my take on the first of the 12 steps. So let's jump right into it. First of all, the B word, bonds. Bonds. It's time to start looking at bonds. Yeah, Bill Gross, the bond guy at PIMCO, says it may be the last bull market coming up. James Grant says he thinks that it's going to be a bull market in bonds coming up. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal about this might be a bullish time for bonds. I guess the idea is the Fed stops raising interest rates, and hey, interest rates may actually start coming down again. And of course, that's bullish for bonds. Next up, it's book time. I went to the library, returned that book, Fooled by Randomness, and saw on the new bookshelf there a book called The Bogleheads Guide to Investing, written by a bunch of bogleheads, which are people who are loyal followers of John Bogle, the founder and retired chairman of Vanguard Group. And if you're a new investor or a young person that doesn't have a whole lot of experience investing, man, you got to get a copy of this book. It just lays it all out for you on everything you need to do to get invested, get yourself on the right track. One interesting tidbit I read in there was, if you start with a single penny and double it every day, then on the 30th day, how much money would you have? $5,338,709.12. I also read something in the Tipping Point that's similar to that, which says the following. It says, consider, for example, I give you a large piece of paper and I ask you to fold it over once, then take that folded paper and fold it over again, and then again, and again, until you have refolded the original paper 50 times. How tall do you think the final stack would be? In answer to that question, most people would fold the sheet in their mind's eye and guess that the pile would be as thick as a phone book, or if they're really courageous, they'll say that it would be as tall as a refrigerator. But the real answer is that the height of the stack would approximate the distance to the sun. And if you folded it over one more time, the stack would be as high as the distance to the sun and back. This is an example of what is in mathematics called a geometric progression. And he goes on to talk about how epidemics are another example of geometric progression. When a virus spreads through a population, it doubles and doubles again until it has figuratively grown from a single sheet of paper all the way to the sun in 50 steps. Why do I bring that up? Because if you're a person that would read this Boglehead's Guide to Investing, then you're a young person looking to invest, And you know, you need to know how important it is to get started investing early, because when that money compounds and compounds, it'll grow beyond your wildest dreams when you get old. So the bottom line is, if you're young and you're not putting as much as you possibly can into your 401k plan or into a Roth IRA, then some people would call you an idiot. But not me. I'm like Jim Cramer. I'm also a statesman. I would just say, you need to carefully reconsider. Well, I've got another book that I'll review for you someday. I'm sure that you might be interested in this one. It's called Trading with the Enemy: Seduction and Betrayal on Jim Cramer's Wall Street. This is the tell-all book by Nicholas Mayer. I've got a copy. I'm going to read it, and we'll see what he has to say. Remember, I think this book was taken off the market because there were some legalities surrounding its publication. Next up, what am I supposed to do with MySpace? I've got a MySpace account. If you go to myspace.com/madmoneymachine, you can find me in there. Well, I'm there. What am I supposed to do? You know, I've looked into it. If you've got a MySpace account, do your thing with me. Link up to me or whatever you're supposed to do there. My wife says I should join eons.com instead. Well, I took a look at that, and I have to disagree. I don't think I'm that old yet. I don't know about you, but to me, the internet is like watching TV, where every single minute there is something interesting on. Not good for my girly figure. A true mouse potato. Indexing is all the rage. Have you seen the stuff going on out there? Commercial by WisdomTree, who has this dividend-weighted indexes. ETFs are exploding in use, which are basically, most of them are indexes of one form or another. There was a guy on thestreet.com video, Rob Arnott, talking about his PowerShares RAFI 1000 portfolio, ETF, PRF. Which is a fundamental weighted index. Everybody wants a piece of indexing.
She's a mystery to me, and everything about you. It's hard to believe that I haven't met you.
How about this tip? Let's just say this tip is sponsored by Lipton Cold Brew, even though it's really not. Maybe someday Lipton will come around and actually sponsor me. This tip says, stock prices are not random. News is random. Stocks adjust accordingly. My son and I are both hot sauce lovers. We started out on just the regular old Louisiana red hot sauce, moved up to Tabasco sauce, and went to a restaurant nearby called Tijuana Flats. Features Mexican foods and has a whole condiment area full of different graduations of hot sauces, from a happy face all the way to a sad crying face. And I did some research on hot sauces, and it turns out that the heat is measured in Scoville units. Originally designed early in the 20th century, where a guy would dilute the hot pepper juice until you couldn't taste it on your tongue anymore, and that graded how hot the juice was. Nowadays, they, of course, have a chemical way to analyze the heat in a pepper, and it turns out that there's a capsaicin chemical that is the hottest chemical on Earth. And just by reference, Tabasco sauce is measured as 2,500 Scoville units. Well, this capsaicin chemical is 16 million Scoville units. I went to the Tijuana Flats place, actually sells a condiment that's 7 million Scoville units, and he said he requires each of his employees to taste it. He puts a little bit of it on a toothpick and touches it to their tongue. He said one lady was almost in tears. They did everything they could to take the pain away. A 12-step program was originally a way to help treat alcoholics. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous? The first step was realize you have a problem. Here now, my take on the first of the 12 steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. A 12-step program for active investors. Step 1. Active investors. My name is Paul, and I'm an active investor. It was 9:30 on a Monday morning. My wife came to me and asked if I wanted to go for a walk. Well, the stock market was just then opening after a tough news weekend. So I said I was busy and would have to wait for another day. She went walking without me. What was I supposed to say? Look, I know I need help. Somebody please rescue me.
You came by my heart today. Said, let's go walking like we used to. But I was busy, busy as sin. Gonna have to wait for another day. So you walk away. What am I supposed to say here now? Is there somewhere you can rescue me? Somewhere you can bring me home again? Somewhere you can rescue me? Rescue me. Rescue me.
Do you own actively managed mutual funds? Do you select stocks you think can outperform a market? Do you think there are times to be in a market and times to be out of a market? Do you think that active managers with the best track records are best for managing your investments? Do you shift in and out of styles or indexes in an effort to chase returns? Are you primarily invested in the S&P 500, thinking this provides adequate diversification? Do you believe that now is the best time to invest in certain sectors? Do you invest without considering risk capacity or risk exposure? Do you invest without first studying the academic research that explains how and why free markets work? Do you keep a stash of Rolaids on hand to cope with short-term market volatility? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you're an active investor and you need to be rescued. We're here to help you. We'll bring you home.
Is there somewhere you can rescue me? Somewhere you can break.
it's time now for Tools in the Crib. And by the way, crib is short for tool crib. My grandfather used to work in a tool crib at a company called, believe it or not, Acme Machinery Company. But anyway, our tool this time is a different kind of retirement calculator. You know, I've given you the number 4 and the rule of 25, both the same thing. Well, if you're not convinced that something that simple can help plan for your financial independence or retire early party, then you'll want to go out to firecalc.com. FIRECALC. Now, the FIRE stands for Financial Independence Retire Early. The website says, thinking of chucking it all and retiring early long before you start getting a pension or Social Security, and before you have ready access to your 401k and IRA, with what you have today and what it costs to live, can you retire and maintain the same lifestyle? That's the question FireCalc addresses. FireCalc doesn't require that you predict future inflation rates, market returns, investment volatility, and the like to see if you can retire now. Rather, it makes a single fundamental assumption. If your retirement portfolio would have withstood the worst ravages of inflation, the Great Depression, and every other financial calamity the U.S. has seen since 1871, then it's likely to withstand whatever might happen between now and the day you no longer have any need for your retirement funds. If you accept that assumption, and I guess that Nassim Nicholas Taleb would not accept that assumption, the book Fooled by Randomness. If you accept that assumption, then just tell FireCalc how much you have and how much you'll be spending, and FireCalc will tell you whether your retirement plan will last as long as you want it to, or what you need to change to make it all work. Well, you can read more about it. You can play with the numbers. Go out to firecalc.com and try it out. If you read in there on their tab called Background and Questions, you might want to read some of the assumptions in there. It says FireCalc ignores taxable versus non-taxable portfolios right now. Well, that's getting kind of advanced. But it says in there, for now, I prefer to leave the tax planning portion to programs like iORP.com, I-ORP.com, another tool in the crib this time. ORP is the Optimal Retirement Planner. And when you run that, it asks you to put in your balance of your tax-deferred accounts, your 401ks, your IRAs, the balance of your taxable accounts, your after-tax accounts, and then I would also recommend putting in your age at which the plan is to end, maybe make that pretty high, like 100 or something, and your investment returns, they default to 10%. You might want to, that is the key number in all of that. If you notch that down to 6 or 7%, it's going to have a dramatic impact on how much you can spend annually. But it's a fun tool to play with. Both of these things are fun to play with to see if you can be financially independent or retire early. FireCalc.com and I-ORP.com. Like all the tools I've given you so far, these two are free. Have you noticed that Jim Cramer has been laughing a whole lot more on his show? All through the months that I've been watching it, I've always wondered, when he tells a joke, how come it doesn't crack himself up sometimes? Well, the past couple of weeks, he's been cracking up unlike he ever has before in the past. The first was when he was holding a banana and got to looking at it and then just cracked up uncontrollably. Next one was when he referred to an advertisement in the Wall Street Journal for Heinz ketchup. I don't know. I have no idea why that is funny. The third time was when he was talking about Pfizer and their drug Viagra. And just the other day, recently, he said, I'm 67 years old and don't look a day over 51. Well, remember the experiment about nodding your head up and down and getting people to say yes? Well, I think just like a laugh track, people love to hear people laughing. If it's genuine, if it's false, it's annoying. In fact, I know of one podcast where the guy laughs ungenuinely, and it's horrible. Hey, Jim Cramer said, instead of buying PPH, the pharmaceutical holders, which is basically an ETF, he said to buy Pfizer, PFE. So, of course, on the madmoneymachine.com/portfolios page at the bottom of that table, I'm going to compare the performance of PPH and PFE as of the price that he, on the closing day that he mentioned those. Also on the portfolios page, I've added near the bottom there, the luxury index, Cramer's 12 stocks that measure the high-end consumers' disposition to purchasing. He said, we'll watch that index, and if that starts going down in a big way, we know we're in big trouble. Time for recession coming. He said on the show that he mentioned that, he said it started at 96. So that's where I started it. As of Wednesday, it looks like it's at 98. So I think we're doing all right. Other changes to the portfolio, I sold Citi Trends. You'll see the description for that, why I did that out on the website. I also sold Chico's FAS, and to replace those two, I bought JCPenney's and Pepsi. And speaking of step one, active investors, what if we had just stuck with the original 10 stocks that we picked for the Cramer portfolio? It would be up 4.1%. Wow, that's further proof that trading around just doesn't work. And that's as of the close of the day, Wednesday, August 2nd.
Well, 20,000 hardworking folks lost everything they had to Enron and crooks like Kenneth Lay. Well, Kenny boy walked with 32 mil, so he didn't hurt that bad, thanks to George and his friends at the DOJ. Well, now the SEC looked into things. I guess they were looking deep, 'cause they wound up arresting Martha Stewart. Now we all can sleep. Where is the honesty? Where's the integrity? Where's the love? And where did that money go? Our corporate accountability remains a fallacy. Where's the love? And where did that money go?
I want to give away a copy of Index Funds, a 12-step program for active investors. But like I said last show, I want you to buy a copy before you wait to win one. And if you happen to win one, then give it to a friend, because you'll be doing them a big favor. I read my copy with a highlighter. It is so densely packed with the great nuggets in there, I want to make sure I can come back and revisit them. Like in step one, it has an excerpt from gamblingmagazine.com from May 19th, 2005, talking about online stock trading dangers. And the quote is, after 2 months tethered to his computer keyboard, Mr. Anderson says in an interview, it only took a few trades to really just wipe me out. Now deeply in debt and living at home with his parents, he recalls dispiritedly, it was sudden. I remember one day I was lying in bed in the fetal position saying, what the hell did I do? And mental health professionals say some of today's obsessed day traders may actually be addicted to online trading. Here's another nugget. One of the biggest mistakes made by active investors is they believe there is skill involved when the stock market proves profitable. When the stock market performs well, as it did for most of the 80s and 90s, investors are more prone to believe they can beat a market. Well, I'm so lucky to be in a position where I can make somebody happy right now. Of all the entries out at madmoneymachine.com, this week's show notes, I'm going to pick one at random. First, let me read the one by Andy in there. It says, belated congrats on your podcast award nomination. You definitely deserve it. Well, thank you. I checked out the IFA website linked from your site and some of your Google advertisements. Oh, yeah. So I saw that the IFA website also has a podcast. Will this compete with yours? Should I purchase some stock in your podcast thinking IFA will want to buy you out? Oh, Jim says this is not how to invest. Just teasing. Andy, Excellent question about whether IFA podcasts compete with this one. The answer is definitely not. Mine, if anything, would complement theirs. And I encourage you to go out and check out. I'll have a link in my show notes to their RSS feed for their podcast, as well as a direct link to their site where you can get their podcast. They're doing the official series on the 12 Steps. And if you want the real lowdown, that's the one you want to check out. So let's go to random.org. My favorite random number selection method. And I'm going to pick a number between 1 and... between 2 and 10. The first entry in there did not obey the rules. And tell me something that he learned about from the IFA website. I know that was a hard assignment, wasn't it? Oh, what did you learn? I don't know. So let's generate one random integer. Smallest value, 1. 2. Largest value, should I let the Swede win again? Well, the Swede's entry is number 10. I don't like duplicate winners. So let's go to number 9. Say, get numbers. And the number's 3. And that translates to Andy, the one I just mentioned. Congratulations, Andy. You're the winner of Index Funds, the book, the 12-step program for active investors. I encourage everybody else right now to go to my website, click on the Amazon link for that book, and buy yourself a copy. It's only $29.99. If $29.99 can turn your investments in worth millions of dollars by the time you retire, that don't you think that'd be a good investment? Nonetheless, I would like to give another copy away. Here's what we're going to do for the next show. And it's a whole lot simpler assignment than this week's was. This one simply asks you to tell me, how are you listening to this show? First of all, no, it's a two-part question. Let's make it a two-part question. You got to answer both parts to be considered an entrant. First part is, how did you find out about the Mad Money Machine in the first place? You know, did you do a Google search for Mad Money or Cramer, or did you just see it in iTunes somehow? Or did a friend tell you about it? What is the very first way you found out about the Mad Money Machine, and why are you therefore listening? The second part is, how do you listen to this program? Do you listen to it on your portable MP3 player, like an iPod? Or do you listen to it through the computer? And you might want to go ahead and throw in where you listen. Do you listen in the car? Do you listen at work? Do you listen at home? I'd like to know, if it's not too personal. So there's two-part questions. How did you find out about the Mad Money Machine? And how do you listen to it? If you put those comments at the show, at the website, madmoneymachine.com, in the show notes for this show, MMM-034, Sudden Dearth, you can click there, add comment, and all you have to do is register at the website. Put in your put in a name and an email address, and I will not spam you to death. I've sent one spam in the 7 months that this program has gone on. So you can see that I'm not a spammer. I won't sell your address to anybody else, promise. So go ahead and feel free to register. And I look forward to reading your comments about how you found out about the Mad Money Machine, how you're listening, and I will pick one of your names to win this fantastic book that will change your life, Index Funds, a 12-step program for active investors. Let's play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble, and for the selected guru, I'll give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Money Machine Show number 34, Sudden Dearth, is John Bogle. Well, he goes by the nickname Jack. And he is the subject of The Boglehead's Guide to Investing, which states, what Jack Bogle has made possible for the individual investor is truly extraordinary. Thanks to his creation of no-load, low-cost, tax-efficient mutual funds, millions of investors enjoy significantly greater returns on their investment dollars than they otherwise would have. His introduction of the first index fund for retail investors was labeled Bogle's Folly by its detractors. Today, that same fund, Vanguard's 500 Index Fund, is the largest mutual fund in the world. Thanks to Jack Bogle, more of each investor's money is put to work for them instead of going into the pockets of brokers, fund managers, or the tax man. For the everyday investor, this translates into items such as nicer homes for families, college educations for children, more enjoyable retirements for seniors, and more money to be passed on to loved ones and causes they care about. Although a few other investment fund families have joined the low-cost revolution, it was Jack Bogle who sounded the bugle and led the charge. In his book Common Sense on Mutual Funds, Jack Bogle wrote, "The idea that a bell rings to signal when investors should get into or out of the stock market is simply not credible. After nearly 50 years in this business, I do not know of anybody who has done it successfully and consistently. I don't even know anybody who knows anybody who has done it successfully and consistently." On the subject of keeping it simple, Jack Bogle said, "If you go back to 1970, there were only 355 equity funds. Only 169 of them survive today. So right away, you are dramatically skewing the numbers by not counting the losers. Of those 169 survivors, only 9 beat the S&P 500 through 1999. 3 of those by 1% to 2% per year. 4 of those by 2% to 3%. And only 2 by more than that. I would say that 2% isn't really statistically significant, but let's leave that aside. Then there's taxes. After tax, maybe only those top 2 truly beat the market. That means it's just a game of chance, and a bad one at that." On the subject of asset allocation, Bogle says, "Asset allocation is critically important, but cost is critically important too. All other factors pale into insignificance." He said the shortest route to top quartile performance is to be in the bottom quartile of expenses. On market timing, he said, "There is simply no way under the sun to forecast a fund's future returns based on its past record." Regarding staying the course, he says, "No matter what happens, stick to your program. I've said stay the course 1,000 times, and I meant it every time. It's the most important single piece of investment wisdom I can give to you." Well, you may want to go out to your library and get one of Jack Bogle's books, especially one of these two, Bogle on Mutual Funds, New Perspectives for the Intelligent Investor, 1993. The Boglehead Guide says Jack Bogle wanted to make this first book on mutual fund investing equal to Benjamin Graham's classic, The Intelligent Investor. Not only did he succeed, but Bogle on Mutual Funds may be the best book about mutual fund investing ever written. And about Common Sense on Mutual Funds, written in 1999, it says, "Warren Buffett called this book a must-read for every investor, and we agree." Well, congratulations to John Jack Bogle. You're the guru on the Mad Money Machine Show 34, Sudden Dearth. Well, I have babbled on and on long enough. It's time to end this thing. I so appreciate you being here with me. This is just a whole lot of fun for me, putting on this podcast for you. Being the combination of Paul Harvey and Mark Holbert, like I mentioned on the last show. If you would like to be an active participant of the Mad Money Machine, go to madmoneymachine.com, and up at the upper right, you'll see action items on there, and there's a whole bunch of things you can do to get involved. One thing I might mention is I've put a new Amazon ad link on the side of the main page in there, and what they claim is that all the books in there are context sensitive based upon the content of my website. So go take a look at the Amazon ads that show up for you and see if they make sense or not. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes remembering that we're not running a hedge fund to make a mad money machine. I'll see you next time. And be sure and visit our sponsors, Index Funds Advisors, at IFA.com, matching people with portfolios.
Well, 20,000 hardworking folks lost everything they had.
You've been listening to Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine. Some music played on this program was made possible by the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Mad Money Machine is not affiliated with Jim Cramer, CNBC, Real Money, TheStreet.com, or anyone else, really. I may have long or short positions on some or all of the investments discussed on this show. Although the information discussed on this program is believed to be reliable, neither I nor the sponsors of this program make any representations or warranties whatsoever as to its accuracy or completeness. Nor do we assess, verify, or guarantee the suitability or profitability of any particular investment, and you should not rely solely upon this program for purposes of transacting securities or other investments. Opinions expressed by me and any of my guests are current opinions only and subject to change without notice. Thanks for listening. Join me again next time for more of Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine.
And where did that money go? The blood and the tears and the love and the prayers flowed in from all around the time the devil flew right down Broadway. But then the money started pouring in from everywhere, because it seemed this town became the whole world's injured child that day. And anybody that was standing near a microphone said, "We'll make it better fast." But 3 years later, I look around me and I just gotta ask, where is the sin?